Yeah. It's your boy Prime Minister, man. Salute to all the patriots on the trip. Never surrender. Real American dream. Jesus won't forsake us, struggle never break us. Devil gone like magic, Kobe Lakers. They can never fade us, never shake us. Jesus won't forsake us, struggle never break us. Devil gone like magic, Kobe Lakers. They can never fade us, never shake us. I love Christ and I pop shit. That's Kanye, my God is Jehovah. But his bride ain't Beyonce. I say do what God say, you say do what car say. Patriot, real cowboy, I yell yeah, be Kanye. Walked away from raw, yeah. Chose to walk with Yahweh. Rather die poor without a damn dime than go Illuminati. Money's the rule of all evil and that is the Lord.
I wanted to be a man of responsibility and accountability. First being responsible for my own self actions and then holding myself accountable when I know I'm wrong. Yeah. It's a difference when I don't know I'm wrong and I think I'm right. You see what right. I'm saying? But yeah. I never try to take the position of being right when I know I'm wrong. Right. I would much rather say I'm wrong and I want to be wrong than rather playing like I'm right,
right.
And my wrong. So responsibility, accountability, and then convictions.
Yeah.
So what people see is not a guy that's trolling, not a guy that's trying to be brave, not a guy that's trying to take down gangs. You see a guy that's speaking and operating out of his convictions. I look at something, I can't look at wrong and be quiet.
Yeah.
I look at wrong and say, man, that's wrong. And so that's what I'm doing. It looks dangerous, but though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. I'm speaking against evil.
That's right.
So it allows me to be fearless, because I think there's a protection that comes with me speaking out against evil. I think I've been able to change the narrative. I think I've been able to sow new seeds into the minds of, in the black community, youth, and even just throughout America.
Yeah.
I think my message, and not only my message, but my actions, and in the narrative that I'm trying to create, I think it gives hope to other races who have lost hope in our race.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And in the process, my hope is that the self-love, this self-tough love that I'm trying to exhibit amongst black people will do just what the civil rights generation did. It bridged the gap amongst all races.
Excellent.
Yeah, that black love unifying everybody.
That's right.
You just used two key words, unrepentance and lack of remorse. That's what I see, homie. Lil Boosie, as a rapper, is one of my favorite rappers. Mm. As a man, the man that I see outside of this rap character and persona is a man that I personally would have disdain for. I was one of them young dudes that you could use.
Right.
That would take the fall. I was the young kid that if you wanted to kill and you was older, I would have killed with you. Mm. I would have went along with whatever those older guys said do because I wanted that affirmation.
Right.
I hadn't seen the Math Hoffa interview, but a lot of people been sending, man, what you think about this?
Yeah.
And I already know that's the case. I already know when you're a rapper and you got the money, you take the least of those and let them be your fall guys and crash dummies. I didn't know we used kids to do it.
Yeah.
I thought the real G's and the real gangsters preserved the babies.
Exactly.
Preserve their innocence. Nah, little homie, not you.
Exactly.
And you go, yeah. So, yeah, that was real sad. So I'm saying that to say all of this.
Mm.
He was once on trial for one murder, but was implicated in four or five other murders.
Yeah.
right, with this one kid. This kid was 16 years old when they finally arrested him, and he had 9 bodies, and 9 homicides at 16 years old. Damn. 5 of them was associated with Lil Boosie. At what point in a killer's life, in a gangster's life, do they redeem themselves, repent, turn away from, and denounce or renounce and show some empathy for the victims? Yeah. He's never done that. So
wow.
To see this arrest and see the links in which that our law enforcement went to make this arrest to law enforcement, I think it gives solace. May not bring peace, but I think it gives solace and comfort to those victims who feel like he may have gotten by, because you never get away. Right. I think about Marlo Mike. And I think about Marlo Mike because I'm a youth advocate who worked tirelessly and spent years partnering with lobbyists and other youth advocates throughout America, working to get juvenile life without parole abolished in this country, where it's not an automatic sentence given to young youthful offenders, and taking in consideration the mitigating factors that may have led this kid up to commit these type of crimes. When I saw Marlo Mike's appeal was denied by the Supreme Court, and he's gonna die in prison. He's gonna die in prison from something that he's done from age 12 to 16. 9 people killed. Yeah,
something's wrong with Lil Boosie, right?
Yeah. You see where I'm going with this.
Something's wrong with it, because like I'm thinking about the Vlad interview. It's almost like he's boasting about it.
Come on, homie.
Something's wrong. Yeah. Question: do you think he lost his soul at some point along the way? It's like,
yeah,
he don't have no soul.
Yeah, I think so. He makes a lot of references to God, but I think that internal struggle in war, homie, at some point you have to repent.
You have to repent, yeah.
You got to. I remember telling my brother, and this is, man, I thank God for our mother. Because my brother killed somebody. I participated in the killing. We ain't no killers.
Right.
We got in situations. Somebody came up dead, but my brother killed somebody. He killed another street guy who pulled a gun out on him, made him beg for his life. I mean, shamed him real bad publicly, you know. But my brother was a kid when he done this. Mm-hmm. The guy was a little older, was an adult. My brother took his life. My brother was sentenced to 99 years in prison for this crime he committed at age 17. 5 of those years, I never heard my brother mention or make no reference to God. And we have a godly mother. Mm. Man, we ain't raised like this. We've never been. So I remember. See, I got to meet my victim's family. I got to meet these white people, homie. They forgave me. Man, we cried together. So there was an exchange of something, right?
Yeah.
Their forgiveness.
Yeah.
So even though I spent 7 years in the boys' home, in the juvenile system, my juvenile record is clear. There's no of me ever having committed this crime, right? I still owe a debt to that life.
That's right.
I still owe a debt to Michael Levy. So I live my life paying that debt.
Yeah, understood.
Understood. Even though I wasn't the guy who pulled the trigger, I planned it, I was a part of it, I was in support of it, and I celebrated it when we done it. So I'm just as guilty, right? That's me knowing I didn't pull the trigger. I still say we killed that man.
Yeah.
My accountability and responsibility, so I don't detach myself from that.
Yeah.
So I work with children who were just like me, so they don't end up creating another victim. So that's my debt that I pay.
Yeah.
So when I see Boosie and I know the history of this kid, that 16-year-old got a life without parole, is gonna die in prison, who was suffering from a mental illness and mental health problem because he saw violence growing up.
Yeah.
And he was getting paid $2,600 to kill people. So when I see Boosie, I say, man, I remember telling my brother, there's no way God is gonna let you out of prison, nigga, if you ain't got no remorse for what you did. Because there was a long time he didn't have any remorse. He was trying to justify it.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. This is your brother.
This is my brother, my blood brother.
Right.
Because he felt like the guy pulled a gun on his, man, no.
Yeah. Wow.
No. So I remember telling him, if nothing else, you have to have some remorse for that boy, mama, his family. Because my mother would always tell me and him, I can always come see y'all. The other parents can't go get to see theirs. So she never let us complain. She never let us forget our victims.
Yeah.
Never. So I'm saying, Boosie, how can you forget your victims?
Yeah.
Whether you was guilty or not, man, you know you got victims.
Yeah.
So don't thumb your nose in these people. So that's why I hate the hypocrisy of the hip hop world culture, because they uplift the killers and they never make reference to the victims.
Yeah.
Never.
Never. Yeah.
From Vlad TV, he put, man, everybody got their chest stuck out about who they done hurt, what pain they done caused.
Yeah.
And not a portion of no proceeds, not even a portion of the interview is directed
or even
say, hey, I just want to take the time to apologize. Nobody's done that. I hardly see that anywhere.
Right.
So that's my beef with Boosie and everybody else who propagate and promotes the cycle of violence, not just in the black culture and the hip hop culture, but also in American culture, because there's a cycle of violence as well as a cycle of rape. America has a culture of violence and a culture of rape. Mm-hmm. When you look at some of the rape reported in the military, it swept under the rug. They had to change the name of the Killeen base because of all, when you look at the college levels, when you look at all the new freshmen who's reporting rape, they get swept under the rug. Man, it's a culture of it. But because of his status.
Yeah.
Because of his status. So when I look at movies like 50 Shades of Grey, when you look at Bill Clinton's history.
Yeah. Oh my God, Bill Clinton's a monster.
He's a monster, but when you look at what they're doing to Trump, they're trying to send him to prison for paying off a woman who consensually probably said, hey, we can do this. They're saying she took a bribe to be quiet. Not rape allegations.
Right, right.
Man, Bill Clinton got over 24 allegations from college up until.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. No, man. So I understand that we need to change. We have to change the cultures, because the subcultures now are overtaking our culture, and it looks like the subcultures is the main culture. Yeah. But you and I both know black culture is still conservative.
Yeah.
It's still conservative.
Right. Traditional values.
Traditional values.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hadn't gotten away from that. Yeah, and this is how the subculture has overtaken our culture, is because the voter die. When they came with the voter die for the new millennials, the Puff Daddies, the Jay-Z's, the Russell Simmons,
the Black Slave Masters,
all of them getting in and saying, y'all come over here and vote. Well, that transcended the hip-hop culture and every other subculture and put it above black culture. And we've been stuck right there ever since.
Yeah.
Our politicians go to our entertainers. They're not the thinkers. They're not the brains
right.
of the true. Bunch.
Right.
LeBron James. Yeah, I ain't taking nothing from LeBron there, but homie, they're not the thinkers and the brains of the bunch. Jay-Z now.
Right.
Tyler Pitt. They're not the thinkers and the brains of the bunch. But because it's kind of like church and state getting in bed together.
Yeah.
They hadn't got out. And that was by way of the faith-based initiative programs. We hadn't got out of bed. Church and state hadn't separated. That's why they have political debates at churches now. All politicians show up to speak to the congregation, and that shouldn't be so.
Right.
Yeah, shouldn't be so. Taxes shouldn't have tax exempt status. Churches shouldn't have tax exempt status. That puts the church in bed with the state.
Right.
It should be separate.
You got to close their mouth.
There you go. These are big topics right now, homie, that we have to address.
Yeah, because what is the message that he's sending? I mean, it's like, what is the message that he's sending? I mean, is he basically he's saying he supports murder.
Murder. Even if you say, okay, he's innocent till proven guilty, why not support the family too?
Yeah. Let the information come out.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Why specifically go to support him?
Yeah.
And you don't have the facts of the case.
Right.
What about that family?
What about the family who lost it?
Yeah, man. And or that family who may have been a fan of yours.
Yeah.
Love your music.
Yeah.
And the family was really shaken by that. So for the feds to arrest him a day after that happened, it was almost rewarding.
It was
almost rewarding.
Yeah.
That family deserved more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to see the cockiness and the bravado-ness of this young kid that's on trial. I'm starting to think we're dealing with demons in human form.
Yeah, I was about to say, you said it before.
I'm starting to think we're dealing with demons in human form, man.
Yeah.
As scary as that sounds,
yeah.
I'm starting to really believe that.
Yeah.
The heartlessness.
The heartlessness, yeah.
I've never seen nothing like it.
Yeah.
This is...
Mm.
This is the group of people who could take a picture with a burning corpse behind them, or a hanging corpse with smiling faces. This is that group again.
Yeah.
And it ain't white people.
Right.
These are big time.
Right.
At this point now, there's no blame we can place. It's in the bag. You might have to cut.
Don't worry.
All right, just get to them. Get to them out there. Hold on. Say what's up, big brother. Happy Father's Day, man.
I just called to tell you Happy Father's Day. Tell you I love you. That's all.
I already, man. Love you too, fam.
You're a bunch of these old bitch ass nigga dead out here. That's all I called to tell you.
All right, my nigga. All right.
All right, I'm gone.
Right.
I love you.
All right, love you too, bro.
All right,
bro. You hear who that was, huh?
Who's that?
That's Kevin Gates.
Oh, that's Gates?
Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Gates?
Yeah, y'all keep this in here. Yeah, y'all got good footage. Yeah, that was
Kevin. Shout out to Gates.
Hand that to them out there. Yeah, you just get to them out there.
Shout out to Gates, man.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of a man who shows remorse, who shows redemption, who shows, you know, what you can be when you really learn from the shit you go through.
It's crazy that you say that. Because we saw him kick a girl on stage. Man, we saw him do a whole bunch of wild, crazy shit.
Yeah.
Go to prison, serve his time, realign his life with his belief system. Then he started working from the inside out, got off drugs.
Yeah.
So when I started poking fun at him.
I was just about to say, I love the way that y'all worked that out.
Because I was just poking fun because I don't know that he's going through this transition. I just know he done kicked a woman on stage. So in my mind, he's a big, bad, tough nigga.
Right.
So when I go to, I was being mean and ugly too. In my mind, you can't hurt these niggas' feelings. They rappers. They killers.
Right.
When he responded to me with love.
Yeah.
Man, when he responded, his response convicted me as a man.
Yeah.
Normally, I mean, fuck you, bitch ass nigga, but his response said, I love you, brother.
Yeah.
Most black men don't hear that from black men to black men.
Right.
Then he go on to say, the reason why I'm acting different than this is because I don't drink no more. What you said, I don't smoke no more. I woo, woo, woo. I said, oh, I'm a piece of shit. Oh, I felt like a piece of shit. Because here I am poking fun at a man that's crucifying his own self so a new man can rise.
Wow.
You're putting your own self on the cross, knowing your flaws, man. So you're putting your own self on the cross so a new man can rise. Homie, it done something to me. Yeah. To even having had attacked a man, yeah, knowing or unknowingly what the conditions were. Yeah, so.
That was a big moment for you, though.
It was.
That was a big moment
for you. It was.
And I think that's taught a lot of people how to stay out of Charleston White's way.
Yeah.
Change your life.
That was a great message. What it taught me is love does conquer hate, because I was being hateful.
Yeah.
Love, that nigga conquered me. And even the people around me said, because if my initial response, wow, man, fuck that shit. They said, nah, man, Blue, you wrong. I said, yeah, I know it. I couldn't get past, yeah, I know it. So he even taught me. So, yeah, he showed me, and so what I've been watching, so when I got to meet him in person, I watched how is love around him. Everybody is loving. Everybody, the whole energy. Man, yeah, his whole energy, the whole aura about the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got a loving presence. He got a loving engaging with his crew. And then he even had a bodyguard. Big old nigga just looking at me, mean mugging me. Now, I don't know this guy. I mean, this guy done bumped heads on the internet, and he done swole by God. When he see me, he go thrash me. Even when this guy seen me, he hugged and loved on me and said, man, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Big moment.
It's gonna take love in our hearts to fix these conditions.
Yeah.
We can't have anger in our heart toward white people.
Right.
We can't hate nothing.
Right.
If we wanna fix us as black people, it's gonna take love in our hearts. And that's what ultimately fixed America and righted America's wrongs during slavery. It was white and black people
coming together.
Coming together
for a long time.
Our greatest ally is our white brother.
It's true. Sisters. Civil War.
Yeah.
Even about abolitionists.
Yeah.
Movement.
Yeah. So
thank you, brother, for sharing that, man.
Yeah, so so we need one another. We don't need to hate. We need one another. We need the love and the understanding. Yeah. And we can reshift the paradigm in which we're going in this country.
Yeah.
Our children don't want to hate. They can't understand the racism.
They can't understand it.
They can't understand it.
I know.
So they're rejecting it, right? They're rejecting it. That's all I want to say. They're rejecting it. I think Vlad just has an interest in the detriment of black culture.
That's evil shit, though.
Is he
an evil motherfucker, man?
I mean, because I think he know what he's doing. I think he know what he's doing. I think he know the consequences that come from what he's doing.
He don't give a fuck.
Nah, he don't give a fuck. Because it's just like the record labels. In his mind, I'm not doing anything but just providing the cameras and the microphone.
Gotcha.
They're doing this to themselves.
Got it.
So he sleeps well at night. They're doing this to themselves. I'm not asking, knowing that The FBI watch every one of his videos as they do mine, as they do yours. Mm-hmm. They don't take the time to invest time and energy and resource to many people. But when you can get the masses' attention in the way that I have, you have, Vlad have, Say Cheese TV have, and you can get these kind of people on your platform, it's a lot of open murders to that guy. It's a lot of unsolved murders to him. Mm. So all of these guys that get on here, from the BMF characters, all of these gangsters, why don't we ever get the positive stories, like the
That's exactly my point.
You see what I'm saying? Like the VH1s, what's the one used to play the El DeBars? They play everybody. Mickey Howard. I forgot the name of the show, but they play all the old Jagged Edge. They give us all these, why don't he interview the old? Give us some real historical context to some of these groups.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have no social agenda. He doesn't have he's not loyal to us, that he wants to see the best for us.
Yeah. And then to think about it, all of this go in his vault. It's just like the Smithsonian Museum with all of Dr. King's information in there. His family don't own it. Black people don't own it. The Smithsonian's own that. Right. It's just like Kobe Bryant. Black people don't own nothing of Kobe Bryant's. So when all this is said and done, and we're not putting this information in books, these guys aren't writing autobiographies. Those are the autobiographies. Guess where you're going to have to go? To Vlad to get it. It's in his vault. That's his content now. Your story is his content now.
Wow.
And when you die, he's going to capitalize off of it.
And he holds it. That's funny you say that because every time there's somebody who...
He come with a flashback.
He come with a flashback right after the first person dies. Yeah. Or they go to jail.
Immediately. That's why they'll take what you said, but because you said it, it may be offensive, but if you elaborate, it's not offensive.
Right.
They don't give you the elaborated part.
They do the same thing to my man Trump.
All the time.
They take a little clip from him and
all the time.
Spin it.
Yeah, one of the most notorious was grabbing by the pussy.
Right.
That was a bits and piece clip that they gave us that they didn't give us in full.
Right.
And if men could still be men in America, most men, politicians,
right,
or whoever would have stood up and said, "Come on, man, we know how." Yeah,
that's just shit talking.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Locker room talk.
Right.
But what's understood don't have to be explained.
Right.
Yeah, right. And that's why he really never had to explain that.
And in the world of politics, if they can take something like that to conflate it and twist it, then they can always try to use that.
Yeah.
Because he's really actually very much in support of women. A lot of people don't give him credit for that.
He got a big woman fan base as well, too. Big,
that's right.
Woman,
yeah.
Support. Yeah. So these are guys speaking with the ethnocentric ideology belief system. Theirs is better. What if I like women with a high body count? What if I don't want no stew head? What if she got a high body count, but she believe in me?
Right.
And maybe her high body count came when she was in her 20s and her 30s and she was battling with being molested.
Insecure,
by somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then she finally found herself. She had children.
Yeah.
And now she's walking as a woman and she has a mentor that she met when she was, come on now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not picture perfect men.
They're not.
To project this image.
Self-righteous.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. It's this male chauvinistic, self-righteous yeah. I'm king, you, no, man.
Yeah.
They don't uplift women, bro.
They don't uplift them, no, I know that.
Said, man, yeah. I was cringing in that interview. Because I watched him say things and their words was murdering these girls' souls.
Yeah.
He said, "Ah, your eggs is fried." Man, I watched them.
Yeah, he hates. It's like he hates women. It's like he hates them almost. He's not trying to educate them.
Nah, and it's and it's to belittle them and degrade them every.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never have an equal dialogue with a woman.
Yeah.
Feel like her opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like how I watch him when he kicks him off. Well, you can go. You can get out. This whose show is this? You know.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying that you was the first person to actually see, because I used to actually watch them because I thought he was talking about masculinity.
Yeah.
And you know, men are not being masculine. And then when I heard you say that, I was like, what? I said, man, I don't like these dudes the way they talk to women. And I started watching them. I was like, wow, this dude is really like.
Yeah.
He's really nasty to him.
I had my daughter there that day.
Oh, wow.
So I got my 14-year-old daughter in there listening, homie. And words hurt.
Yeah.
Words hurt women. Words affect women. Especially if they submit themselves to hear your words, right? So we got these young ladies captivated, held captive, because they're submitting to hear us, right? Even if they wanna argue against what we're saying, they're still submitting.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to breathe some life. I didn't wanna destroy, because I got a seed over there looking.
Wow.
And so as I'm talking to these young ladies, I also know my daughter's listening, so I'm sowing seeds in her too.
That's right.
So I took a different approach. People got to see a different Charleston.
Yeah, I liked that. Yeah,
yeah, they thought they was gonna get something. Nah, homie, those were my convictions. Y'all saw a man who was convicted by this environment.
You stepped out of your... The next question I have for you was...
This some deep shit, man. That's a great interview, man.
Yeah, honest with you.
CIA government plant used to go bad to fund the country wars. He's one of the main people to bring crack to America.
He wanted to change his life. He came home and his whole identity was hijacked by the record label. And I say the record label because I don't think the artist that's known as Rick Ross was big enough to...
He didn't understand what he was doing.
I don't think he... I don't know if he... I mean,
he really was just paying homage, but he didn't know that. He didn't know he who controls images controls minds. Confucius said that.
Mm-hmm.
He that controls images controls minds. Hip hop ultimately became a mind controlling tool.
There you go. You're right. Yep.
To fuel the prison system, gun control lobbyists. Hey, we need to get rid of guns. We need to stop the AKs. Well, who more to look at? Look at these people over here with these guns. Come on, homie. That's what they use. They don't use school shootings, really. It's a mind-altering tool that uses imagery to control the minds, right? Gangster image, pimp image. So, John Gotti. So you have rappers' names use Gotti name. So Rick Ross, Frank Lucas, Rafer Emmons, Billy Ray Maddox. So they start using all of these names, homie.
Right.
Come on, man.
Right.
We thought Rick Ross was really Rick Ross. We didn't know Free Ray Ricky Ross was the real Rick Ross. You see what I'm saying? Our kids didn't know that.
Right.
But the image of him talking dope, selling dope, and he was a correction officer.
And the crazy thing is that the Free Ray Ricky Ross was, I think he's overshadowed now by...
He is, isn't he? He is.
He can't even like get out there and do his little youth program and things he was trying to accomplish.
None of that. And I've talked to him several times. He got great ideas, homie. He got a wonderful book. He got a great story to tell.
Wow.
Yeah, but...
You think he'll ever come out of that, from under that rapper cloud?
He can't.
He can't. Because even when you pull it up, like if you pull up Rick Ross on like Google, the rapper comes up. It doesn't even.
Yeah. Because he has a stain and a black eye on our government. The man couldn't read or write, homie. The man couldn't read or write.
Yeah.
And they gave him crack. He brought crack to Sat Central, LA. Yeah, that movie, Snowfall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who you think that is? That's him. Everybody know that. They're not going to say it's not. But who else had contact from the government with documents to prove other than him?
Right. So they're never going to. So there's a force behind keeping him from. Yeah, that's kind of wild.
So then Rick Ross go on to make the song, I Think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover, they need those imageries.
Yeah.
So now they got Big Lil Meech playing Big Meech. That imagery, homie. That imagery. Where are the bankers? Where are the doctors? Where are the lawyers? Where are the scientists? Where are the black statisticians that come up with the stats? Where's the black?
Do you think the whole story, the whole idea of Little Meech playing Big Meech in the movie is a fail on Big Meech's part? Because I know that there has to be at some point he's probably saying to himself he's going to show the fall. Maybe you think he's unrepentant and unremorseful like Boosie?
He's unrepentant and unremorseful. He said it.
Wow.
He said he wouldn't change nothing. What this is doing now is re-sowing the seeds again of the gangsterism in the image. It's re-sowing the seeds for a new generation.
Yeah.
Why you think white people made that motherfucking Jeffrey Dahmer shit go away? Black people didn't stop that. They didn't want to re-sow those seeds. Another serial killer come up with ideas, they re-sowing the seeds.
Right. Right, so that people can watch it and then go out there and imitate it.
That's, come on now.
Programming, yeah.
You grow up now, you aspire to be like this one. You and your family poor, you and y'all, so you get to re-sow these seeds.
That's wild.
That's true,
yep.
It's like replanting seeds.
Yep, starting over. Yep, because eventually it would have phased out.
So it's just like the gangbangers coming home, getting on prison, telling their stories again about how they used to put in work. They re-sowing the seeds. That's why you seeing why you seeing the uptick in the violence. All of it's being re-sown again. From that era when it was violent. We're not re-sowing the 98 era. We're not re-sowing the 2000 era. Some of those guys are still in prison. That was big, big, big then. So they're retelling the Tupac stories. They're retelling all these old gangster stories. It's re-sowing the seeds, homie. Because what else do we get to look at to aspire to be like?
That's true.
When we're small.
And that's why you got guys like NBA YoungBoy. They basically watching this shit and they basically trying to live it.
Yeah, again. They trying to live up to those shoes.
Yeah.
But better.
But better. Ain't that some shit?
Come on, homie.
So what do we do to stop this shit? How do we stop this shit? If you had your way, if you could push a button and fix everything from your office, how would you feel? How would you stop?
I would pick that
back up where Dolores, Miss C. Dolores Tucker left off at.
Who's
Dolores
that?
Tucker, you's a motherfucker. Remember Tupac said that in his song? Dolores Tucker, you's a motherfucker. And Mr. Bill Clinton, Bob Dole, you're too old to understand the way this game. Dolores C. Tucker is the first black woman like Charleston White in the 90s who started attacking the rap culture.
Okay.
And most people say she was paid off by the industry, but I don't believe she was. But we have to attack the culture. Because one thing I'm starting to learn and have come to understand is that culture can supersede home life and upbringing.
Okay.
Because I can.
Yeah, you're right.
It can.
Yeah. Good kids come out of good home.
What?
And the hip hop community turn you out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So American culture had to change in order for white people to stop enslaving black people. But even when white people wasn't agreeing with it because of the culture, they didn't go against the culture. So they stayed silent when they weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
Because if you go against the culture, you could come up dead.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have accepted a negative culture that's nothing but detrimental.
Yeah.
We don't value education. We don't clap for the kid that wins the spelling bee.
Right.
We don't clap for the kid that turns in the wallet that he found with a bunch of money.
You're right.
We don't clap for the person that finds the drugs on the beach and calls it in and turn it into the police and find out that it was worth $2 million.
You're
we don't clap for them people.
Yeah, yeah. No, they don't get the righteous in our world don't get no reward.
That's what I'm
saying.
The
veterans, the teachers, the honor roll students. Yeah, none of that. Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We at this point have to create the options of good, bad and ugly. So if I'm thirsty and I've been walking for miles in the desert and I go inside this bar and they got muddy water right there, they got clear water and they got something that look like sweet tea, I got options. But if I just go in there and it's all muddy water and I'm thirsty, then that's what we got, number muddy water.
Right.
So let's create some options.
Right.
Let's make it our business for black children and other children to see guys like me and you. I mentor white kids. I mentor Hispanic kids because I want them to see black men like me. We all ain't gangster rappers. Right. You like rappers? No, I hate rappers. You call the police? Yeah, I call the police.
Yeah.
So I want white kids to see. No, man, it's still some Uncle Joe's in the neighborhood. It's still some Uncle Joe Dale's around here, man. That if you mess up on my block, I say that's wrong. And I'm willing to die for all of us on this block so we can live right.
Yeah.
That black man, homie, the black man get up, go to work. Hey, what's up, Mr. Johnson? Boy, you been on that job 35 years. And when he get in the car, I brag to the young niggas right here about how Mr. Johnson been on that job 35 years, nigga. They laughing at him, but I'm going to make him a hero to these kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to shame the drug dealing nigga.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, your stepdaddy, I'm gonna make him a hero to your convict daddy who you think is the real. No, nigga, your stepdaddy been doing this.
Yeah.
So that's what we gotta do, homie, intentionally.
Okay.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Shame this shit that's wrong.
Yeah.
Because they've been having a light for too long.
But have you ever said something and kind of felt like, man, I should have said that?
Yeah, several times. But then when I wrestle in spirit, you had the right intentions, but you delivered it the wrong way. And then I say, well, was it effective?
Yeah.
You can be right and be wrong all at the same time.
Yeah, I get it.
And nigga, you can be wrong, but you can be right in your wrong.
Then my uncle used to say that, rest in peace, Uncle Tree, he used to say that. He said, there's a right way to do wrong.
Yeah, there's a right way to do wrong, homie. It's a lot of people had to do wrong just so they can learn what's right.
That's true.
Because they was taught wrong from the jump.
Yeah.
I've said a few things, homie. Yeah, I said a few things, and secretly, I say, God, repair any harm that I've done with those words.
Yeah.
Secretly, especially when I can feel it when I know I'm wrong. So, nigga, I have to withdraw from me, cause I'm gonna, in my mind and in my logic, I'm gonna try to justify it because that's the natural. Wrongness of a man is to try to justify their wrong so they don't feel so horrible like a piece of shit, right? But nah, nigga, I say God, man, yeah, repair any harm that those words cause.
Well, I want to give you your flowers too, man, because I'm going to tell you what you've done that I don't think nobody has ever done is you really have put a mirror up in front of Black America. Yeah, I think you put that mirror up better than anybody else. Nobody's put that up.
Yeah, because there are some places, homie, they would kill a Charleston White. California, Chicago, New York, Philly, they would kill a Charleston White, homie. Literally kill me just for speaking. There's no hate in my heart. Even when I say, man, I hate you gang banging ass niggas. I don't hate the gang member. I hate the culture. I hate the rules. I hate the effects. I hate the damage that this shit is doing and has done. I hate the fact that I was tricked by it. I might get online and say, man, I hate a gay motherfucker, but man, I don't hate no gay person. Man, I work with gay kids. I got gay relatives.
So what does trigger some of that?
Well, it's the mirror. I wouldn't cuss online. I wouldn't dare say nigga in front of a camera because I didn't want to offend my white people. I didn't want to offend nobody. I was the poster child. So when I came to the internet, I came to the internet trying to be the poster child of who I was in real life. And nigga, the internet was ugly. You can, man, I'm talking about, I got a rude awakening. So I came to the internet saying, hey, what's up, brother? Say, look at us, you know? That shit, nah.
That shit don't work.
So I became a reflection. Yeah. Fuck you, bitch ass nigga. So I became a reflection. Yeah. Man, I became a reflection of what's before me. So even with my presentations, even with my public speaking, even as a motivational speaker, I reflect the audience. So if you put me a bunch of young people, I'm not gonna talk to these young people as if I would talk to if I'm speaking to, you know, the people that's running for judge, that's running for county commissioner. I'm not gonna speak at the Terrence Starr Republicans Women's Country Club luncheon as I would if I'm over in the hood. So I get online and I reflect what's in the comment section. Nothing else. I reflect what's in the comment section. I reflect the algorithm. So I learned to trick the algorithm with the, I hate you, bitch, fuck you, nigga, I can't stand. So I tricked the algorithm with that. Because my prayer, long before I started using these words, is God, don't let my heart be hardened toward my own people, let alone nobody. God, I don't want to hate nothing. So I would cleanse my heart in the process of playing hateful. And when I got mad about something, God, please, God, man. So I worked on my heart, my nigga. Yeah. I worked on my heart. No anger, no hate, no resentment, no content. I get mad, yeah. But when I'm online, I ain't mad about nothing. I used to be mad going to city council because I was all passion. And I remember a white guy telling me at the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, I was a keynote speaker at the Family Strengthening of Family Conference in San Marcos. He said, Charleston, if you don't put no business with your passion, you're going to get burnt out. Passionate man that's in the community trying to help, begging to get his nonprofit some funding, he's going to get burnt out. If he don't understand the business side of this. And that was me. So my burnout part was, I'm online now posting my frustration, the shootings, the George Zimmerman verdict. So now I'm online with all this frustration and passion. I look like I'm a hateful, mean, angry black man. That's when I start saying, well, God, don't let my heart be hard, because I start feeling myself becoming that.
Yeah.
Because every day I'm online posting my passion and what I'm passionate about, and I'm arguing with this person. So I started feeling myself drowning, like you would say, homie, into the political arena.
Yeah.
I started, man, I was a rock star for the Republican Party of Texas. Tarrant County GOP Republican. I was a rock star. Yeah. And I was starting to drown myself in politics. And I was starting to submerge myself in those feelings, homie, and that wasn't good.
Yeah.
So the internet became my outlet.
Yeah.
It became my outlet.
Yeah.
So I'm not hateful in real life, because I was starting to seem to be hateful and mean and angry in real life, because I was starting to get burnt out. Start to get burnt out. I had all the help in the world, but I was starting to get burnt out.
You know, I know that the programming in the Black America is so strong. Very few people can crack that shell. And I see people having more remorse now. I think see people are they're thinking about it. You're making people think about it, and people are joining that Charleston White movement. Right. I can see you get to that point. That prophetic moment was like, yeah, this ain't no character. This is
oh. Homie, I did everything Black people said, dude. I swear, man. I done everything. They said go to the church. I went to the church. My mama said go. I done everything.
Yeah.
But who was coming to help these babies? We was having meetings. We were having luncheons. But where can we bring these kids during the summertime to feed them? Let them go swimming. Take them on field trips. That's what the church... I did everything Black people said, do. Only to find myself with 50, 60 children with no help. When I go here, they say, yeah, man, give me $50 an hour. This is a church. The streets gave me a building. I realized when the community really have love for children, the children will make everything clean up. So I said, man. I was able to take a drug-infested club and turn it into a youth center just because I had kids coming every day. That's why them niggas start saying I was the police. Because I cleaned up this shit, but with kids. So, after the George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin verdict, I said, man, let me go see if these white people really racist. So I dressed up, put my beanie hat on, my gold chain, and I went to an executive committee meeting of Republicans. And I walked in, homie.
And they embraced you.
Homie, they embraced me.
Yeah.
They embraced me.
Yeah.
From that moment on, yeah. But at first they looking at me crazy. And I kept trying to get up and go speak, and they said, well, what did you want to say? The guy who stopped me happened to be like a representative of Greg Abbott, young white guy. He gave me a card. The next morning, I called to the Tarrant County GOP Republican Party headquarters and explained my experience. Hey, my name is Charleston White. I run a youth organization called Hype About Hype. I went to an executive committee meeting, and I said, well, you know, they kind of shunned me a little bit, but I understand. I said, I understand that this party once used to embrace niggas.
You said that?
Niggas. And I want to get them back to embracing niggas. There was a woman by the name of Jen Hall on the phone. She transferred me to the executive director, Shelley Pritchard. They invited me to meet with them the next day. From that moment, they gave a reference to one of the most powerful ladies in our city by the name of Mona Bailey. And from that moment on, I've been dealing with conservatives and Republicans. But I had already been taught in the community college level by Dr. Geoffrey Mitchell, the real history of Republican and Democrat.
Yeah.
And I said, man, we've been tricked. So I went and done my own study of the Dixon strategy where they say we switched. And I said, no, we didn't switch. One got clever in their dealings with Black people than the other. The other ones didn't want to bound us with entitlements because they had given us civil rights. Right. We didn't need entitlements. They had given us civil rights.
Right, right.
So when I understood this, I said, well, let me go see. And I saw that they're not racist. We're all prejudiced, right? But they're not racist. Man, you know how many white people were coming to the hood? The bottomless pit? Blew my mind. So now I'm fighting with the Black pastors, why I got these white people coming? Well, y'all wasn't happening.
Right.
So I saw something.
You saw
man.
It straight up yourself.
Yeah. So then when I started taking niggas from the hood, tattoos and teardrops on their face, gold teeth dread, well, y'all just come over here and see. Now these niggas Republicans.
Right.
Because they see. So I'm telling people, man, nah, man, it's the lack of understanding for one.
Yeah.
And the number two is we've been tricked.
We've
been tricked politically and we've been tricked culturally with the hip hop culture and a political culture.
Yeah.
We've been bound to one side for too long with no results.
Hmm.
With no results.
No results.
So at this point, when Donald Trump says, "What do y'all have to lose?" That's what the fuck he meant.
Exactly. Yeah.
He can't come out and say it, but that's what he meant.
That's what he meant. Yeah, you've been getting fucked every come on, possible
with no
way.
Results.
With no results. Yeah. Poor schools, low income, high prison rate. Yeah.
Mass incarceration come from that side, not this side.
That's right. And he did the prison reform. He killed it with that.
Come on now. Not only the prison reform, the opportunity zone that he was creating.
Yeah.
That no longer exists since he's been gone.
You think black folks really missed the opportunity with Trump?
They did. When history write this, it won't be kind to us. This could have catapulted us.
That's how I felt too. Man.
Yeah, just from the HBCUs to more black people created businesses and LLCs this time under his administration than any time ever in history.
Yeah,
we needed 4 more years of him. We needed it.
Yeah.
Black people did desperately more.
You know
than
who
anybody.
Ran the interference? The rappers.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
T.I., Snoop
Dogg. All of them, homie.
They ran the interference. I'm like, why would you? That's what it really exposed to me, like how they like agents. They like you like an agent.
When they all went against Ice Cube, homie. Ice Cube came up with that, he went to both parties.
Yeah.
He went to Biden and Trump and them looked at it.
Yeah.
Biden wouldn't even talk to him and look at it. Black people was almost willing to turn on Ice Cube because of that, homie. And it's been our baby.
That's how I do it.
They was ready to turn. They turned on him for a minute. All the rappers start saying, oh, man. Even when Steve Harvey kind of said, yeah, they kind of, yeah.
They turned again. They even turned against Martin Luther King's son.
Come on, homie. George Foreman.
Yeah.
Man, even Mayweather went over there and hugged with him. But they, come on, homie.
Yeah.
So, It's obvious to those who know and to those that can see. But man, our people blind in the motherfucker.
Yeah. It's sad, man. It is bad.
And
it's self-inflicted.
And it's self-inflicted. And at this point, the Bible says if you try to correct a fool, he'll kill you. We correcting fools now. That's why so many threats are against us. Mm. So I just said, man, fuck trying to teach. Let me just entertain. And in the process of me entertaining, I'm going to sneak some shit.
Yes, you're dropping in there. Yeah.
I get it. Yeah, so that's where I'm at now.
Yeah, and smart man.
Yeah, that's where I'm at now.
Yeah, live
man.
Long and prosper, my brother. On the side, everybody, what's your thoughts on the cheating epidemic? You know, why do men cheat? Why do women cheat? What's the signs of cheating?
Cheating is an inner issue. It's a character flaw. It's an ego problem. Mm. It's an insecurity that I even suffer with myself. Mm. I remember being proud and pride myself on being a faithful husband. Then something happened in me.
Yeah.
My ego got bigger. New insecurities developed, right? So that's what I wrestle with as a man. I think the greatest man is one who can preserve himself to one woman. So as you were asking me that question, I thought about Weezy and Jefferson, George Jefferson.
Yeah.
I thought about Florence and James Evans. I even thought about Edith and Archie Bunker. They didn't have them problems that they focused on back then.
Right.
Because America really valued its family. America don't value family anymore. Not only don't America value family, it's no longer in God we trust.
Right.
Yeah. So we've submitted to the soul of a man, what we feel, what feel good to us. We're now governed by what we feel rather than what we know. That's this new group. That's this new generation of Americans.
Yeah.
If it feel good, they do it, even if it's wrong.
Yeah.
I never want to lose the concept of knowing wrong is wrong and feeling bad when I do wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have I cheated? Yeah. And do I feel bad when I cheat? Yeah. Do I try not to cheat every day as a man?
Yeah.
What the elders tell me and what the responsible men and the accountable men tell me, and as we should tell each other as men, a man that's giving in to his pleasures every day as a man is living in hell. If you fulfilling your pleasures as a man, you living in hell.
Mm.
So don't live in your pleasures.
Right. That's powerful.
Yeah, don't live in your pleasures. You're living in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who
so
you telling?
That's what cheat makes you do, living your pleasures.
Yeah. You know, Instagram, social media, I think the music, when I listen to the music now, because I like the old school music still.
Me too.
But when I listen to the new music, it always seemed like it's always about like,
see, you bringing this up, you might be talking to my spirit. You might be preaching to me. Because this is what I find myself doing. When I get on Instagram, I see some women so motherfucking beautiful and pretty. And I'm saying, where they come from? How does she pop up on my feed? And I'm not following her. So guess what I do? I follow her. Look at how fine she is. Now here come the lust. I go 3-4 more scrolls. Here go another beautiful one. God damn, click on her. I follow her. At some point, I begin to convict myself because now I'm feeling guilty. Homie, I'm not on here for this, but how is it that they are appearing to me?
Right.
Where are they coming from? Who putting them in my algorithm? Why don't I see normal looking women anymore? Why is everybody so goddamn beautiful and gorgeous?
Right.
Why is everybody fine? And so I start to unfollow.
Yeah.
But just think if I didn't have the convictions.
Yeah.
I'd be in the DMs like every other nigga.
Yeah.
Because men want to see it. That's the nature of a man, is to see it and get turned on. Women got to hear it. That's why I say, baby, you like what I look like? And she want to reach out, oh, yeah, baby, you look good. That's why men say, hey, send me a picture of them titties. He want to see it.
Yeah.
So men is turned on by sight. That's the trick, homie.
Yeah.
This over-sexualized generation, homie, we can't even think because we so sexually infused.
Yeah.
And I intentionally have to unplug so I can think, homie.
I know.
I intentionally have to put, because I love women.
Yeah.
And these women, granddad and them didn't have access to all these beautiful women, homie.
Right.
We do.
Right.
So everything is at our fingertips. And I want people to remember this, not just me and yours, it's at our children's too.
Yeah.
Everything good and everything bad is just at a click of a button. If they can think it, if they can spell it, they can make it appear. Gay sex, trans sex, anything.
Wow.
So the devil has just as much access to their minds as he do ours.
Mm.
Because we no longer have the three monkeys. See no evil.
Mm.
Hear no evil.
Speak no evil.
We've removed the barriers, and our kids see everything, hear everything, and say everything. And it's destroying this country.
It's destroying the country. Damn. I wanted to talk about the Black Slave Master, because a lot of times people don't talk about the Black Slave Master.
There were many and plenty.
Many and plenty, and we got a lot of, I guess you say, hip-hop executives that really profited off of Black destruction. Jay-Z, Jay Prince, these guys. What's your thoughts on that in relationship to the Black Slave Master?
They benefit more from being in a master position than the white man. We call them gatekeepers. The pro-black called them the bourgeois boulets. The boulets. Europe didn't invade Africa. Africans sold Africans to Europe. Persians sold Africans to Europe. When you look at this new movie, when The Woman King, with Viola Davis, about the African warrior tribe, the tribe of women who was a king, he had a whole group of army that was all women, and it was a fierce fighting women's group. They were the last group of Africans who were selling other Africans to the Europeans. So when you watch this movie, this is probably one of the most accurate movies I've seen to depict this part of slavery, because most movies don't show you or even tell you this part about. Africans was doing this to one another. There's 54 different countries that make up the continent of Africa. They all don't harmoniously live amongst each other, but they're all Africans. When I think about the black slave master, I think about, okay, that's my people, but they're not my kind.
Right.
How do you separate your people from your kind? And y'all all the same people, by our actions. You have a feline category, but all cats
ain't the same.
Ain't the same.
Right.
Yeah, you have a bird population, but all birds aren't the same.
Right.
So when I think about the black slave master, it's a lot of my people that's gonna enslave us, and they do it to this day. Mm-hmm. The gangbanger, they the slave masters, because they create rules and barriers long before the white man rules ever get to you. The hood oppresses you long before a Jim Crow sign say you can't come in here.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with this, homie?
Yeah.
So now, nigga, we the new slave masters now.
Seems like that.
Ain't no seem nothing. I've been watching it and I've been studying it.
It's the truth. Yeah.
If you go on the job, man, who's more likely to help you and show you the job? It won't be your own property. Come on now.
Yeah, I know.
He go, man, he ain't no forsaken little brother.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you pose a threat to him. And he might be a misrepresentation of my kind.
Exactly.
There we go.
It's a misrepresentation
of my kind. We black people, but he ain't my kind.
That's so funny you say that.
Yeah.
We get misrepresented a lot, I think.
Yeah.
And that's just one thing that I struggle with too, is that I find that when people think of the hood, they think about the worst shit that happens in the hood, and there's so much good stuff that happens in the hood. There's so many good, beautiful people in the hood.
Well, it used to be the projects where all the kids that made good grades were. Because they were really trying to make it out. Right. They used to, in the projects in the hood, they used to value education. Those were the straight A students. Now, us well-to-do upper middle class kids, we would kind of fuck up a little bit because we had it already. But before then, man, the projects were all the smartest kids was.
Yeah.
Straight A students, perfect attendance.
Right.
They did everything right in school because they were really trying to make it out.
Trying to make it out.
Somehow we got this reverse psychology where, nigga, we think
hip hop
to stay in here.
Hip hop.
And if you make it out, you done sold out.
Hip hop did that.
Reverse psychology.
Hip hop made you feel like the hood is the place to be.
Yeah. So we were brainwashed.
We were brainwashed,
homie. So. I remember, homie, the project kids, homie, them were the smartest kids in school. Right. And they had gardens in the backyard. They ate all the time. So they were vibrant then. I guess they was neighborhoods back then.
Mm-hmm.
More communities.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were neighborhoods then. When we stopped being neighborly and came with a new value system, we started valuing the criminal elements of society.
Mm.
And I think Well, I'm not going to say I think, but it was introduced by way of hip-hop.
Hip-hop.
It was introduced by
way of hip-hop. And gang culture, too. Like, gang culture would not have been as the national epidemic that it became without hip-hop. Snoop Dogg.
Hip-hop was the vehicle for it to spread and maneuver through America.
Yeah.
Hip-hop romanticized gangsterism for black youth.
It did.
It propagated it. It promoted it, and then the culture began to the hood began to solidify it. Yeah. Not the culture, the hood.
Yeah.
The hood began to solidify it. So once they commercialized gangsterism, throughout the 90s with Snoop Dogg, them St. Ives, started imprinting more death in rap music, more destruction. In the rap videos, right? More black guys were singing and rapping behind jail cell bars. They wasn't actually putting guns and they was putting scenarios, guys hanging out the window like the drive-by, but we never saw the guns, right?
Right.
We were seeing the white chalk on the ground with the yellow tape. So they was giving us those images.
Yeah.
Now they actually see the guns and bodies and the gore of
in reality,
it. Yeah. So it was a gradual step. And I'm saying to myself, I'm not going to say America, but how did black people let it get to this?
Yeah.
Where it's all kill, die, kill, smoking on your baby. How did we let it get to this? And now it's children. And now it's children, homie.
Yeah.
Babies. Mm-hmm. And it started 10 years ago with straight drill music. Mm-hmm. If we look at gun violence, youth violence, and youth murders, I bet we'll see a trend that started 10 or 12 years ago when we started seeing kids in Chicago kill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Before then, we never saw a weekend where Chicago would have 50-something shootings, 20-something dead. That it's a trend that started. Yeah. And we sat back and watched it develop.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
How would you describe the American dream?
The American dream has been robbed. There's 99 tongues in America now. And they all brought their cultures with them. America is falling and we're losing our dreams.
Right.
That's why MAGA was one of the biggest, most powerful statements that could have been spoken in this millennial. Make America great again. It used to be great, man. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. With all the flaws that America has, the good, the bad, and it's ugly, this country used to be great. And we're losing our dream where you can come here with nothing and die with something.
And die with something.
And have something for your family, children's children. You can come here with nothing and die with something, because you have a right, a God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you, bro.
So
we gotta keep fighting, man.
We gonna keep fighting.
Trump 2024.
Yeah. I got it. I'm ready. I'm ready. I joke a lot and said, man, well, now Trump ain't gonna win because Trump want to get even. But there's nothing wrong with wanting to get even to make this.
Oh, he gonna get even.
Yeah.
Or he don't play that shit.
Yeah. So I win him. He got my support.
Thanks, bro.
If I could crown any family or royalty, I would. That would be our royal family.
Thank you, bro.
That would be our royal family. Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm a millionaire.
from the air. Homie, just rest assured. Pick it up off the floor. Give it all to the poor. And this is how I'm living. Don't give it, who'll give me more. Not for the love of money. If he owes me a more. I'm a man.